Europe's energy crisis gets worse. Russia has shut down the Nord Stream 1 pipeline once again. It says it's because of maintenance reasons, but European leaders have rejected that. So how will Europe cope with this unprecedented gas shortage? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Hashim Ahalbarra. Much of the continent of Europe is facing a difficult winter ahead. Russia has once again shut down the crucial Nord Stream 1 gas pipeline to Germany. It's raised fears of shortages and possible blackouts in the coming months. Russian authorities say the pipeline was shut to repair a leak, but European leaders have rejected this, accusing Russia of weaponizing energy in response to the Ukraine sanctions. Russian state-owned firm Gazprom says a German company is ready to carry out repairs. But Siemens Energy has denied this, saying it has not been approached. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz insists his government is doing all it can to avoid a crisis.
We will survive the time until then because we have made timely decisions in the past months to store gas, because we are putting coal-fired power plants back into operation, and this is why we can say now, and at this point, we will get through this winter.
The Nord Stream 1 carries Russian gas supplies to Europe. It stretches 1,200 kilometres under the Baltic Sea from the Russian coast to northeastern Germany. Russia had already significantly reduced gas exports through the pipeline. It prompted a nearly 450% jump in European gas prices compared to this time last year. But the Kremlin has repeatedly blamed Western sanctions for the crisis. Let's bring in our guests in Moscow, Stanislav Mitrovic, a leading expert at the National Energy Security Fund and a researcher at the Moscow-based Financial University in Paris, and Sophie Kobo, a global research scholar at the Centre on Global Energy Policy and a former head of gas analysis at British Petroleum. In Berlin, Ben Aris, founder and editor-in-chief of BNE Intellinews and the former Moscow bureau chief for the Daily Telegraph. Welcome to the program. Stanislav, by turning off the tap, is Russia weaponizing gas to retaliate against Western sanctions?
I think this is a retaliation against Western sanctions, because from the position of Moscow authorities in Russia, they see that previously trade with Russia was weaponized by the West. Russian reserves of central bank were basically nationalized or stolen, as it is considered, in Moscow. Then the European Union decided to impose trade embargo on Russian coal. After that, there was a decision to put embargo against Russian oil, and this embargo will come into practice on the 5th of December 2022. So from the point of view of Russia, this trade was already weaponized. And especially when Ursula von der Leyen, head of European Commission, just a couple of days ago, mentioned that European Union needs to impose price cap on Russian gas. And price cap goes completely against the contract. The contract, you cannot see how European Union really follows the contract if European Union really wants to impose a price cap on Russian gas. So from Russian position, it's like we are doing the same thing that you have done. You have weaponized the trade. Now we are doing the same thing. Why we should honor the contract if you don't honor the contract as well?
And so do you see this link between the fact that the decision to shut down the Nord Stream 1 coincides with the G7 decision to agree on a price cap for Russian oil supplies? Do you see the connection between both of them?
I think this is the case, and I think this is also a retaliation or trying to maintain pressure on gas prices, because gas prices have been coming down a little bit since the peak that we observed last week. Last week, we went to $100 per MMBTU, which is equivalent of $580 per barrel, which is extremely high. So I think there has been a strategy from the Russians' point of view to always maintain pressure on gas prices in Europe in order to inflict pain, economic pain, to the European Union. And I think this has been visible since the beginning, since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. We have seen first the episode of the request to pay in ruble, and then some countries have been cut, in particular Poland and Bulgaria, and then some other consumers were cut. Then there has been in June the progressive reduction of flows of natural gas through Nord Stream 1, because it's very important to explain that this further reduction of Nord Stream 1 flows that we are seeing now, this is just the last episode of an episode which has been lasting over the past 3 months. It started in June. And since June, we have seen a progressive reduction. Just before this last episode, we were already at an 80% reduction. So what has been shut over the past few days is just the last 20% of just one pipeline, which was still flowing towards Europe.
Ben, anyway, the gas flows through the Nord Stream 1 were at somehow 20% of what they used to be before, which was about 55 billion cubic meters a year. Still, we're getting a sense of panic, which starts to reverberate across Europe, particularly in Germany.
Indeed. I mean, to follow up on Anne's point, this is, I think, designed to keep the prices up. And that's the weapon that Putin has here, is inflicting economic pain on Europe. Interestingly, Gazprom made the announcement that it was shutting down Nord Stream 1 completely after the markets had closed and the prices had been falling last week. But when they open again tomorrow, I'm sure that they'll bounce up again. And that's been the strategy, is to keep the prices high. And ironically, although Nord Stream 1 has been shut down and has led to fears of shortages in Europe, particularly here in Germany, it should be noted that the gas tanks reached 80% full already last week, a full month ahead of schedule. So there's not actually a shortage of gas. In fact, we're slap in the middle of what averagely there should be going into the heating season. But the threat is that the Nord Stream 1 stays off, that there's no imports throughout the winter, that the tanks themselves are too small to get through the whole winter without continued imports, that Germany will run out of gas after 2 months if there's no more imports. And so Putin is just literally turning the gas on and off to keep the tensions extremely high, because at any point he can turn them off and keep them off and then precipitate a huge energy crisis, you know, at his choosing. We're completely over the barrel on this one. And they just shut them off again with no date for when they're going to resume. But they're going to have to resume if Europe is not going to go into a massive crisis that will involve rationing, that will involve industry slowing down, that will involve huge costs to the consumer.
Stanislav, using gas as a weapon to further extract more concessions from the Europeans, isn't this something that could backfire on the Russian government, on Putin in particular? Because you're getting a sense that many people now are saying Russia could not be taken seriously in the near future as a genuine partner when it comes to gas and oil supplies.
Well, let's see the line of events here. First of all, it was said by European Union officials that they don't see Russia as a partner anymore in the energy sphere. They already imposed embargo on Russian coal, embargo against Russian oil is on the way, and it was said officially that European Union will not be buying Russian gas soon. There was not a specific date announced, but still, it was understandable that Europe doesn't really want to be dependent on Russian gas. And frankly, it started even several years ago because of the whole green agenda and because of the reliance of American LNG and stuff like this. So I suppose after all this was said by European Union, in Moscow, in Kremlin, people thought that basically we have already lost this market. We are not welcome there anymore. In this case, why should we help Europe to pass through winter time? Just to wait until the European Union adopts a new package of sanctions and stops gas flow from its own side. In this case, why should we wait? I think that's kind of a game strategy show.
And if you look back at the previous sanction packages, they really didn't seem to work out as was intended by the West, because they ended up creating this crisis. Prices were skyrocketing, and Putin ended up having massive energy revenues. If you look at the new decision, the new push to move forward with the price cap, which means that if you sign up to this agreement, then you can only purchase the Russian oil at or below the price cap. Is this something that could work? Do you see many countries going with this?
This is very uncertain, because I think a lot of countries are currently benefiting from access to cheaper Russian oil. I mean, you have to understand that, you know, the oil that is coming from Russia right now is not sold at market prices, at Brent prices, for example, but is sold at a discount. So therefore, the prices are already lower. But let me take a step back. I mean, the reasons for the sanctions at the very beginning were in order to lower the revenues that Russia is getting on oil, on gas, and on coal, in order to basically not give the impression that the West was financing the war in Ukraine, because, you know, the revenues from all these sales are being used in order to basically manufacture or sell weapons in order to basically bombard Ukraine. So this is exactly the point of the sanctions: lower the revenues that Russia is basically using, and therefore maybe at the end of the day, I mean, it's a question of stopping the war. This is what, you know, the West wants to do. Now, I agree with only one thing, which is that Western leaders have been a little bit naive in thinking that by saying that, you know, they would put in place all these sanctions, Russia would just continue to deliver the gas per the contracts. And in fact, Russia has done completely the inverse and has taken the lead, because right now Russia is in the driving seat in terms of deciding how much gas it wants to send to Europe. And there is always a good excuse not to actually respect the contracts. I mean, either there is a problem with the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, or people have not wanted to pay in rubles. So they are very eager to actually shift the blame towards the West for the problems that they are creating with the sales or the deliveries of natural gas towards Europe. So this is very important to remember that, because why is Europe particularly in pain, and other countries as well? This is because the markets, the global gas markets, are extremely tight. And this is why we are seeing these completely crazy prices of natural gas, and also power. I mean, we have also a power crisis, because the high gas prices are translating into very high power prices as well, as natural gas is at the margin. And that's why European leaders are trying to change the power price mechanism in order to basically decouple the price from, you know, cheaper resources such as nuclear, renewable hydro, from the very expensive price of resources like coal or natural gas.
Ben, it seems that this is an uncharted territory for everyone. The Europeans and the West in particular would like to put more sanctions, more restrictions, to see that Putin does not benefit more from the revenues, to direct those revenues towards the war in Ukraine. But at the same time, with the new price cap, any importer who is looking forward to have or seeking some services like insurance cover in Europe will have to abide by the price cap. But do you see countries like China, India, and many others who enjoy what is happening right now adhering to this agreement?
The oil price cap mechanism will not work unless China and India in particular come on board. And every indication so far is that they're not going to. In so much as the first process in getting this insurance is you need a safety certificate. And there's an international organization, a group of 11 subnational organizations that offers these certificates. And India explicitly not only ignored the rule to not issue these certificates, it went out and certified the entire Russian fleet, Sovcom Flot. And they have said that, India said this week that they would only come on board with the oil cap price scheme if everybody else did, which is to say that they're suggesting very strongly that they're not going to get on board. So, you know, you talk to the industry people, they're very skeptical that it can be made to work. However, even a partial implementation of this mechanism would put India in a position where they can go to Russia and say, well, look, you're getting less than market prices from other countries. If we're going to buy crude from you, then let's talk about the price again. And as Anne said, they're already getting, Russia's already selling at a discount. And so that discount may get even deeper, which will cost Russia money. But my take on this is actually Putin doesn't care about the profitability of the business. He just wants to make sure there's revenue comes in sufficient in order to keep his budget balanced and in order to give some goodies to the Russian people to stop them becoming unhappy and then him facing domestic political problems. So I think it's going to be a botched job. But I mean, all said and done, we have to admit that the sanctions regime has not worked. I mean, it was, as Anne said, designed to take away Russian revenue, and so it couldn't fight the war. And exactly the opposite happened. And now we're in a stage where the West is trying to come up with, you know, sanctions on the sanctions and secondary sanctions. They're basically a bunch of band-aids trying to make sanctions that's already gone into place work and to deprive Russia of that revenue. And as I say, I think that this is this oil price cap scheme is exactly that, and it's not going to work very well. Because the danger here is that you actually cause a new spike, this time in oil prices. JP Morgan said prices could go to $380 a barrel, which is twice the all-time record. So this one could backfire as well. And the finance ministers, when they released the details on Friday, basically said very little. And moreover, they said specifically, they said nothing about what price the cap is going to come in at. Okay. And the Russians have just said, anybody who joins that scheme, we're simply going to stop oil deliveries. And then we have an oil crisis on top of the gas crisis.
Stanislav, what's next for President Putin? Because for many years, Russia, by positioning itself as a key energy supplier for Europe, had massive political and financial leverage. That leverage could be lost now with what is happening with turning off the tap.
Yes, I think this market can be lost. And it was, again, it was said officially by the European Union officials. They said, we are saying goodbye for Russian gas. We will not be dependent on Russian gas. We will stop buying Russian gas. And frankly speaking, that started several years ago. And the events in Ukraine only has accelerated this trend, nothing more. As for what Putin is going to do next, I think he will still try to game with Nord Stream 1. And possibly there will be an intrigue concerning transit via Ukraine, because this transit via Ukraine can also be stopped. But in this case, Russia will have difficulties in sending gas to Transnistria, you know, an autonomous region of Moldova, that is pro-Russian region. And if this Transnistria loses gas in this case, there could be some military events from Ukrainian side and Moldovan side. So this is still an intrigue what's happening with Ukraine route. As for Turk Stream route, and then that gas goes through Balkan countries, it's also an intrigue here because Russian authorities decided to support Hungary and particular Prime Minister Viktor Orban in selling more gas to Hungary with lower prices. But Hungary definitely decided to resell this gas to its neighbors, primarily to Austria and Slovakia. So again, it's an intrigue. Will Putin allow this gas to flow to Hungary than to be resold to other countries?
Okay. And Germany, as we speak now, its storage facilities are now 84% full, which means, in theory, they should be fine for the time being. What about the midterm and long-term implications?
I mean, first of all, you don't get through winter with just storage. I mean, this is very important. You need to have certain amount of imports. And then on top of that, you are using storage because you need to cover the heating demand during winter, which is essentially coming from the residential sector. And then during the period April to October, you are going to refill storage. So if we are reducing natural gas from Russia further, or rather if Russia reduces its exports to Europe even further, there will be a problem going after the winter 2022-2023, because we will need to refill the storage. Even if we are fine this winter. The problem is that the global gas market is going to be tight until the end of 2025-2026. Why is it tight? Because there is relatively little LNG export capacity coming to the market. And Russia is putting pressure on Europe right now precisely because it knows that there is relatively little alternative sources available besides what Europe has already managed to secure. So there is a lot of LNG coming to Europe right now at a very expensive price, but it's very doubtful that you can get even more. And on top of that, there is a constraint in terms of the infrastructure.
Ben, one of the fallouts from the war in Ukraine, and you have the skyrocketing oil prices compounded with the inflation. Now, the German Chancellor has agreed on a $65 billion relief package. Will it be enough to tackle those problems, particularly in inflation, which is becoming more of a global issue here?
This is the big problem, and I think it's one people are not paying enough attention to, is the cost of this war. It's proving already to be enormously expensive. The Germans just put through a new 65 billion euro package of support for industry and the people. But this is on top of the 60 billion they've already spent. Italy, too, has already spent $52 billion. If you look across Europe, the bill is already up to about €300 billion. And this is before the winter starts, because they're going to have to start subsidizing these heating bills for the population. Or, as Baerbock, the foreign minister, said, there's going to be demonstrations, protests in Berlin about the rising costs. I mean, in the UK, heating bills have gone up tenfold. And on top of that, you've got the inflation. Now, inflation in the UK just went over 10% for the first time in 30 years. And the rest of Europe are all just about to go into double digit. And this is going to get worse as these heating bills go up. And I think this is Putin's strategy. He's just going to inflict so much pain to make the prices of the consumers that much painful, to the point where they protest. And just yesterday in Prague, there were 70,000 people on the streets protesting against the energy prices, the cost of living, demanding cheap gas. And they're going to put pressure on the government in order to come to some sort of arrangement, to come, you know, a ceasefire with Russia. And as I say, I think as the winter goes on, this is going to get worse. And we're looking at what it's going to cost by the end of the heating season, maybe €1 trillion. And I'm not sure Europe has the money to pay for that. It certainly doesn't want to. It's going to be extremely painful.
Stanislav, isn't Putin, in a way or another, pushing people to look for alternatives, renewables, and for the Europeans, in a way or another, to move forward to new suppliers they could do business with for the longer run?
It was already announced by European Union that European Union is trying to find another suppliers, that European Union is going to turn for renewables. It was already said. So, I mean, for Putin, it's just a particular time to act right here, right now, because in several years from now, maybe in 5 years from now, there will be plenty of gas in the world and free LNG, not so expensive LNG. That's why it's necessary to move right here, right now. Why wait these 5 years? Why stop this gas cooperation with Europe when it is convenient for Europe? Probably it's better to stop this cooperation when it is less convenient for Europe in order to gain some political results. Probably Putin really thinks that CAP could become kind of an amendment of political course in different European countries, especially after social unrest, like what happened in Prague just recently. Probably people will just call for their politicians to find a compromise with Russia, probably based on the loss of Ukraine, something like this.
Just fascinating the way the geopolitics of energy are trying now to play out globally. Stanislav Mitrovic and Sophie Kobo, Ben Aris, I really appreciate your insight, but unfortunately we'll have to leave it there. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Al-Barra, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.